Shalom Aleichem. There are makoro sheets in the back. I gave a shiur last night on kashrus and gave out a different set of mar makomos. So if anyone would be interested, they're here on the table after we pick them up. Okay. I would like to speak about Shmitas Ksafim, which is pretty much the background of the sugyas that you're learning currently about Truz Bol. Most of the discussions of Shmitat Ksafim deal with how to understand pshitos that are clearly minority opinions, that are clearly deos yechidim, like limiting Shmitat Ksafim to Eretz Yisrael. There's no source in Chazal to limit Shmitat Ksafim to Eretz Yisrael. It's clearly a chovat gavra, not a chovat karaka, but the whole thought, there was such a minhag, so there's a lot of literature on how to understand the minhag. Or, as opposed to the mainstream shita, that Shmitas Ksafim, like Shmitas Karka, nowadays is Drabanan, that the two are linked. There is a unique shita of the Raivid that nowadays Shmitas Ksafim, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's only Midas Chasidus. On the other extreme, you have the Ramban, who holds that nowadays, even though Shmitas Karka is Drabanan, maybe Shmitas Ksafim is Doraisa. So again, there's a lot of discussion of these deos yechidim. Or question as to when Shemitah takes effect, that even though the Torah says black and white, miketz sheva shanim taseh Shemitah, there is a shita of the Rosh that you may have seen in the beginning of HaShaleach, that there are aspects of Shemitah's Ksafim that take effect already at the beginning of Shemitah, and therefore Shayach to make a prusbol at the beginning of Shemitah. Or there's another shita's yachid of the Yireim, that Zed Devar HaShemitah, that the Malva saying the words, Ani Meshamet, that's Ma'akev, the Shemitah. If the Malva doesn't proactively say that he wants to perform this mitzvah of Shemitah, then the debt still exists. Everyone disagrees with the Yireim, that everyone holds that Shemitah's Ksafim is Afkas Ad-Malka, whether the Malva likes it or doesn't like it. His debt has been canceled, his debt is abrogated. But again, there's a lot of literature on the Yireim. I would like to talk not about Deos Yechidim. I would like to deal with an issue that makes its way through the entire Masoret of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, a machlokes that really has no resolution. Namely, we find two Deos, and those two Deos maintain themselves throughout the generations. And the machloket is simply, what is pshat in the pasuk? Miketz sheva shanim taseh shmita, v'zeh dvar hashmita, shamot kol ba'al mashe yado asher yasheh b'ri'ehu. How would we translate this phrase? Kol ba'al mashe yado asher yasheh b'ri'ehu. What category of debts are included in the world of shmita? The terminology is a terminology which in Torah Shebichtav is unique to Shemitah. If you look in Nehemiah, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Nehemiah is speaking about the takanos that he made in the situation of the Jews who returned from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And he pointed out that Amei Ha'aretz HaMeviyim Es HaMekachot V'Shever B'Yom HaShabbos Limkor, that the Goyim who were neighboring used to bring their produce on Shabbos to sell. And Nehemiah made a takana. Ubiyom, in other words, velo nikach mehem b'Shabbos yom HaKodesh. We closed the gates of Yerushalayim. They can stay outside. We're not going to do business on Shabbos or Yontif. Similarly, v'nitash es hashana hashviyis, that we're going to keep Shemitah's karka. Masha kol yad, and we're going to keep Shemitah's Ksafim. Again, the phrase that's used is Masha kol yad. What exactly does that mean? So, Baruch Hashem, we have a Torah Shebaal Peh. So we have a Mishnah in Shviyas, Perek Yud Mishnah Aleph, that says, Shviyas Mishametes Esamilva Bishtar Vishalo Bishtar, that clearly Baal Mashe Yado includes Milva. It includes all loans. Loans are included in the world of Shemitas Ksafim, as opposed to Hakofa Schanus Eino Mishametet. Similarly, Schar Sachir Eino Mishamet. So we include loans and we exclude Hakofa Sachanut, store that's been selling to an individual on the book, on credit, and similarly, sachir, a person who is working for another individual, he has an employer, and he has this ongoing job. Those are not mishame. But the question is, where do we draw the line? Why? Why is the halva'a considered to be mashe yado as opposed to the hakaf askanut and the schar sapir? So even though I wrote the makaros in chronological order, but let's skip for a moment to the Rishonim. Let's skip to the Rambam. And we have a Rambam in the Perish HaMishnayis who wants to give us the rules of the game. What's considered to be mashe yado? To what does Shemitah apply? And the Rambam points out in the Perish HaMishnayis, Vahakofas hachanut, hu mashe derech b'nei adam lut kasher im balei hachanuyot, that people make arrangements with a store, with a makolet, sheyikach mimenu tzrechav ad sheyitkabetz etzlo schum v'yishalim lo, that a person doesn't pay on everything that he buys immediately, but rather he has a, the owner of the makolet has a file, he has a notebook, and he writes things down, and only at a certain point do they come to a decision that they're going to pay up that which has been owed. Ve'ein oso atzum ha-nikbats nishmat b'shvir. This is excluded. Why? L'fisha eino k'derech ha-chobot. So the Rambam is telling us, he's making an assumption that Shemitah applies not only to loans. Shemitah applies to all normal debts. Derech ha-chobot. It applies to all normal debts. But this debt is not a normal debt. This is an abnormal debt. Shelo machar bal hachanus mashe machar kidei shiye chov. Namely, that the store owner is very, very smart. He has a business acumen. He says, if I'm going to take money from the person immediately when he buys a bottle of Coca-Cola, then the next time that the other makol is going to have a sale, he's going to go to them for the Coca-Cola. On everything, he's going to check what my prices are, what Tamanos' prices are, etc. However, if I don't ask him for money currently, then he becomes my customer. Namely, that we have this rolling arrangement. I don't want him to view it that he owes me the money currently. I would rather have him as a steady customer. And so having him as a steady customer is the reason why I'm simply writing things down. Then now he has a reason to come to me, that he knows he doesn't have to pay immediately. Similarly, in terms of schar sachir, that if I have a handyman, if there's a handyman who does jobs for me, and when he does the job, he says, you know, don't pay me now. In other words, we'll continue to have a relationship. You can pay me later. And then, you know, I have a reason to keep hiring him for things in the house because, you know, we have this arrangement, namely that we're dealing over here with a non-debt. By the schar sachir and hakafat chanut, there is no debt yet until they're going to come to a decision to collect the debt. But who knows when that's going to be? And we know that Shemitah doesn't apply to debts that only enter into the world after Shemitah. They only apply to debts that are currently on the table. Currently, there's nothing on the table other than an ongoing business relationship between a handyman and employer, between a customer and a store owner. And therefore, there is no Shemitah.
That somebody's trying to get in. There are people trying to get in.
Sorry. Thank you very, very much.
Sorry,
just 1 minute.
Pesach Sabbath.
Okay. Hopefully they're in.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry. That we're dealing over here with a non-debt. Any debt Shemitah will apply to, this is not viewed as a debt. This Rambam in the Perish HaMishnayis is quoted by the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah in Perek Tes Halakha Yud Aleph says, Kosev Rabbeinu beperish HaMishnah, and I write dot, dot, dot. He quotes the entire section of the Perish HaMishnayis verbatim, Adkan Lushano, and he explains that we have over here a situation, have ki'ilu hilvahu achar hashvius, that there is no current debt, heim v'yado k'pikadon o kilvahu achar hashvius, namely, that we have a business relationship which is ongoing, there's no, nothing is owed. In order to have a debt, something has to be owed. But mashay yado means any debt which is currently owed. Just that in these two situations, we don't have a debt which is owed. However, if we look at the Rambam himself in the Mishneh Torah, namely, he wrote what he wrote in the Perush Mishnayos. But in the Mishneh Torah, he takes a totally different approach. Look in the Koteret. He gives us the rules of the game. Hilchos Shmitah v'Yovel, there we have 22 mitzvos. And Zehu Partam, mitzvah number 7, she yashmit, kol halva'ato, or she yishamet, kol halva'ato. We're dealing with loans. Mashe yado means a loan. Mitzvah ches, shelo yigos, velo yitva, halove. Namely, we're dealing with a loan. Similarly, in Perek Tet, halacha aleph, where he begins speaking about shmitas ksafim, mitzvah sasei, lahashmit hamilveh, shene emar, shamot kobal, mashe yado. That's what mashe yado means. Mashe yado doesn't mean a debt. A debt can come from a million and one reasons. Mashe yado means a loan. And the Rambam also in Perek Tet Halach Aleph points out, therefore, hakafas achonas eina mashmetet, because it's not a milveh. Imasa milveh nishmetet. Skar sakhir eino nishbat. If you turn it into milveh, then it is nishmat. Namely, as opposed to the Rambam in the Perek HaMishnayos, when the Rambam came to the Mishneh Torah, he changed tracks. And he said that only halvaot are abrogated by Shemitah, only loans, not other debts. And therefore, hakafat, hachanut, skar sakhir, they're not unique exceptions to a rule. They're simply not a halva. Why were they mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah? Because they have a unique character. They could be turned into a loan. Namely, that even that which starts as a business transaction, if we have this concept of zakapo b'milva, it can be transformed into a loan. Once it's transformed into a loan, then Shemitah applies to it. Maybe the Mishnah is telling us that any loan is nishmat, either if it begins as a loan, or even if it begins as a business transaction, but it's turned into a loan. And we'll talk about this at length later on. What does it mean to turn a business transaction into a loan? But then Shemitah would apply. Now, in the Rambam, this is his own development. We know that there are, I think Rabbi Aaron Adler did his doctoral thesis in Bernard Revel on all the differences between the Rambam and the Perush HaMishnayos and the Rambam and the Mishneh Torah, that there are a tremendous number of places where the Rambam was chozer bo. He had a havamina, and then he came to a different maskana. But even though to the Rambam this was a havamina maskana, it's clear from the Ketzef Mishnah that this is a shita, that this is a shita in the Ketzef Mishnah we're going to see in the Beit Yosef. Paskins like the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos with Nafkiminas le Halacha. So my suggestion is that we go back. And here we have a machokas. What is Mashe Yado? Does Mashe Yado mean a debt or any debt, even if it stems from a business transaction? Or does it mean specifically a loan? Let's go back to the Targumim that we have. So we have a Targum Unkulus and we have a Targum HaMeyuchas LeYonatan. So in the Targum Unkulus, in the middle of the page, Dein Piskam Shmitita, Diashmit Kol Gvar Mori Rushu, Diyarshe Bachavre. Anyone who has power of a monetary claim on his fellow Jew, anyone who wishes to collect a debt, that debt in the seventh year is broken. That debt is abrogated. Mashenk in Targum Yonatan, Dein Achavat Hilchat Shmitita, Ashmita Kol Barnash Mori Mezufta. Mezufta is alone. The Yezuf Bechavre. Namely, we have a machlokas over here between the Tirgumim, which is that the Targum Unkulus is in the direction that we saw in the Perush HaMishnayos. The Targum Yonatan is in the direction that we saw in Mishneh Torah. But the Targumim, Lechora, gave their Tirgumim according to the Medrashim they had in front of them. So the question is, what did they have in front of them? And here we have a fascinating situation in Sefer Dvarim. We know that normally, when we move over to the world of Sefer Shmos, move over to the world of Medrash Halacha, generally in every Sefer, we have minimally two Medrashi Halacha, one which comes from Rabbi Akiva, Beis Rabbi Akiva, and one which comes from Beis Rabbi Yishmael. Classically, the Mechilta comes from Beis Rabbi Yishmael. On Dvarim, all that we have that came down to us was the Sifri. And the Sifri clearly works out according to Beis Rabbi Akiva, that it fits all the drashos of Rabbi Akiva that we have in the Mishnah, that those are brought in the Sifri. However, what happened was that Thalam and Schechter went ahead and found the Geniza in Cairo. And when going through the sections, he found sections of a Medrash on Dvarim that we don't have in the Sifri. And Lehefech, they tended to go according to Rabbi Yishmael. And so Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, who was a well-known Rav in Germany, he decided to try and recreate the Mechilta on Dvarim. And so he took the sections that he found in the Geniza from Rav Schechter, from Professor Schechter, and he took the sections that he found is what we have, what's called the Midrash HaGadol that we have, which comes from Yemen, and they maintain Midrashim that we've lost. And he reconstructed a Mechilta on Dvarim that he called Midrash Tanoim. And you can Bar Ilan, and you'll find, you know, it's in the Bar Ilan responsa, you'll find in Midrash HaLacha, there's the Midrash HaTanoim on Sefer Dvarim. So that's what would be the equivalent of the Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael. I'm not telling you that he made all the right decisions in terms of what he put in and what he didn't put in. But he has this volume. So if you look at the two Medrashim, Yitachin, that Unkelus had in front of him the Sifri, and that Targum Yonatan had in front of him this Mechilta, this Medrash Tanoim Lidvarim. Let's look at the Sifri. Shamot Kol Baal, Yochol Af Bigzeira Upikadon. Would we say that if someone stole from his neighbor something on Erev Shemitah, that when Shemitah comes, he no longer has to return it? In other words, that clearly the object is there, has to return it. But let's say he destroyed the object, that he no longer has the Chiyuv of Tashlumin. Chas V'Shalom, Tamad Lomar, Mashe Yado. That we're dealing with a death that was created, yesh me'ayin. We're not dealing with a yesh me'yesh. We're not dealing with an object of mine in someone else's hand. We're dealing with when something was created. So then the Sifri continues, O mashe yado. In other words, maybe that's only a loan. Yochol schar sachir v'akofas chanus. Can it be extended to all debts? Tamud lomar asher yasheh b'reyehu. Namely, that we have a double language. We have Mashe Yado and then Asher Yasheh B'Reyehu. And so this is, we have a ribui. The ribui is not only a loan, but also any debt. That which is excluded is Gzeila and Pikadon. Clearly, the Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't going to say the moment I give someone an object of mine to watch over, it becomes his during Shemitah. But if we have a loan or extended to any debt, even if it began as a business, that is nirve. So the Sifri concludes, im sofeinu l'rabot kulam, ma tamud lomar mashe yado. In other words, so why then do we use a language which would seem to limit it to a loan? Ma mashe yado b'zakuf, af kulam zakufim. In other words, that we need a debt which is on the table. And that would exclude, right, the hakafas, chanut and schar sachir before the kafa b'milve, that they're not yet debts. They're only theoretical debts, but we need a debt on the table. So we have over here a makor for the Rambam and the Perish HaMishnayis and a makor for the Targum Unkelus. If you look at the Medrash Tanoim, the drasha is pum fakir. Shamot kobal mashe yado. Yochol hakol b'mashma. Would mashe yado include any debt? Hamalve v'halove v'achem v'nyapinkoso uksuvas isha v'schar sachir tamadomer asher yasheh b're'ehu. Namely, that the Medrash of Rav Yishmael uses this phrase Asher Yasher Yehu not as a ribui, but rather uses it as a miut. Had we had only one phrase Mashe Yado, we would have included any debt. The moment that we have Asher Yasheh Riyehu, we have a miut to go down to the world of Halva. So with the same pasuk can be understood as a ribui or as a miut. We know that Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva had different ways of being Doresh Psukim. That which Rabbi Akiva viewed as a ribui, Rabbi Yishmael viewed as a miut. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, this is the source of the Targum Yonatan and the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, and the Sifri that we have would be Rabbi Akiva, is the source of the Rambam and Perish HaMishnayis and the Targum Yonatan Ben Uziyah. But as I pointed out, it's not just a hava mina and a maskana in the Rambam or some theoretical question within the Tirgumim, but rather this has halach l'maaser ramifications. If we turn the page and look at the Beis Yosef and Choshen Mishpat and Siman Samach Zayin, Siman Samach Zayin, as you're well aware, is the Siman of Shemitah Ksafim. So the Beis Yosef continues in his approach from the Ketef Mishnah. Im kein kol chayev lechavero bein derech hava bein demei davar shemacharlo, all debts harehu meshamet b'shvius. When we're dealing with hakafat chanut and skar sachir, that's a unique situation where the debt is not on the table, where they have this business arrangement, they have this long-term rolling agreement to continue the relationship as customer and provider, to continue the relationship of a handyman and an employer, and therefore those are exceptions. However, normal business transactions, if money is owed, then we have a dinner shmitas ksafim. That's how the Beis Yosef ends off. Next to the last line, the last word, aval, hamocher chetet lechavero. If I sell you a sefer this week, and you owe me the money, the lokava goes man leparo. We didn't say when you're going to pay me. Then, miyad shemachalo havele kilu hilvo shvius mishantasa. That's called bal mashe yadol, that I need a prusbel in order to be able to get the money for you from the sefer that I told you. Well, this is not a kafat chanut. I have a svarim store. I take money for svarim. Just you told me you didn't have your checkbook or you didn't have your credit card or so I said, okay, come back tomorrow. And you didn't come back. And then all of a sudden Rosh Hashanah comes. Then Shemitah is meshamet because it's a debt. And a debt comes under Mashe Yado. On the other hand, the Bach on that Beis Yosef, he says that the Mishnah Sham uBeis Yosef herich b'chiluke dinim elu, and he quotes the entire section of the Beis Yosef that I quoted. We don't pass it like the Rambam and the Perush HaMishnayos. We pass like the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. It's dafka milva. Shemitah only applies to loans. Business deals don't come under Shemitah. And therefore, if I owe someone money for a sefer that I bought, or I owe someone money for a swimming pool that I bought, my nafkamina, That's nothing to do with Shemitah. That's business. That's not a loan. So we have machot between Beit Yosef and the Bach. Moving next generation to the Perushim on the Shulchan Aruch, the Sma quotes Kosav Beit Yosef. So we know where he's headed. You know, he's agreeing with the Beit Yosef. Mocher davar lechaveru miyad shemachro havei kilu hilvo. This is mashe yado umisham tatzo hashvius. Ad kan loshon, he quotes the entire Beis Yosef, and then he points out, Ayein, the Ir Shushan, look at the Levush that had been written by Rav Mordechai Yaffe, and the volume of the Levush on Choshen Mishpat is called Ir Shushan, the lo hizkir ta'amim halalu, he didn't go in the direction of the Beis Yosef, kosav ta'amim acherim einam nirim be'einai. What direction did the Levush go? So look at the Levush, he writes black and white, that the problem of Hakafas Kanuz is einon nikre talva, ein za b'chal mashe yodam. Namely, that the Levush was going in the direction of the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, the direction of the Bach. Moving over to the later Achronim, so we have, in the generation of the Gra, so we have the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and we have the Pasa Shulchan, we have the Balatanya, and we have the Talmud of the Gra. So in Shulchan Aruch Harav, in Choshen Mishpat, he quotes the Beis Yosef. He points out that there is a uniqueness to the world of Hakafas Chanus and Schar Sochir. In the last line, Aval Hamocher Sharko Reba Hakafa Miyad Shemachrelo Nischayev Lomos Shvius Misham Tosef. Right, that same Nachgamina of the Beis Yosef he also brings as Halachu Lemaitza, that any time that money is owed from any business transaction, the Shemitah can apply to that business transaction. The Pach HaShulchan says nothing doing. Ein Shviyat Meshametetz Ela Milveh. In other words, so we have over here the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah being followed by the Bach, being followed by the Levush, being followed by the Pach HaShulchan. Mashenk in the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos, he's followed by the Beis Yosef, he's followed by the Sma, and he's followed by the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. That we have over here these two streams just working the way parallel one to the other, and again we can go forward and we go backwards. That you know, it's to the Targumim and to the Midrashim to see these two approaches. But again, we're dealing over here, Be'etzem, with a double machlokes. One, what debt does Shemitah apply to? Any debt, any business debt that's created in any which way, or specifically halva'a. But secondly, what is the purpose, what is the function of zekafo b'milve in the world of hakafa schanut and schar sachir? What happened when finally the store owner decides to close his notebook and to say, I want to collect the money? What happens when the handyman decides he's had enough of this rolling arrangement and he wants to be paid? What is that process of zekafo b'milve? So the Rambam was quite clear. The Rambam on the last Mara Mokom on the first page in Perek Tet Al Chir Aleph Hakafa Skanus Eina Mishametet V'im Asa'a Milve Nishmetet. Namely, zekafo b'milve means we have over here a transformation. We have a change, a halachic change. This is no longer a chov. This is no longer a debt. This is a halva'a. This is currently a loan. You know, it's changed its identity totally. What happened to the original arrangement? That the Rambam doesn't tell us. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we have over here now a new transaction called a loan that Shemitah applies to. Masha Einkein in the world of the in the world of the Beis Yosef, in the world of the Perish HaMishnayis, we're dealing not with turning something into a loan, but rather we're dealing with creating a debt that previously was theoretical. We're dealing with taking that debt, making it practical, making it real, but it was a debt and it is a debt. It never turns into a loan. Yitachem, that there would be a nafkamina. If we're dealing over here with theoretically two different processes, one of a transformation and one of a moving from a potential to an actual, yitachem, that the process of the kifas milva would be different according to the Perish HaMishnayis and according to the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. Because we do find a Machlokes Rishonim, what exactly is the process of the Kifas Milveh? What does the store owner have to do? What does the handyman have to do in order to create this reality which is going to currently come under the rules of Shemitah? What is he, in other words, and so we find the Rosh in Gittin says as follows: Hakafa tachanut uschar chanut ein mishamtim. V'im asa'an milve. Firstly, he's using the language of the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, so kind of he's going in that direction. Mishamtin perush shezikafan b'milve l'poran adzman ploni. Namely, that we need an explicit statement that we have over here a new transaction, and the sign of a new transaction is that we have a date of payment. Namely, as long as we were dealing with a situation of a mecher or hakafa tachanut or b'schar sachir, there was no date of payment. The moment that we give a date of payment, that is a sign that this is a halva'a. The Mordechai in Shavuos, it's a little hard to find, because the Mordechai is always hard to find things, whether it's the Mordechai, the Hagos Mordechai. Here on the Perek of Kol Nishbayim, we have two Mordechais. So in that which is the second Mordechai on that Perek, what's called the Nuska Acheres, you have like these five long pages, double folio pages that are all called Tavshin Pei. So smack in the middle of all of that, it says, V'yeshlomar, dehosam mairi bekosev ma'os, perush zokaf bipinkoso, v'kosav shvei haperot, v'have kemochov. That we need an act of the bal habayit, or an act of the handyman, to show that we've completed the transaction, that we've moved from the theory to the practice. It's no longer a business strategy, that it's time now to pay up. And that is done by consolidating the debt, by putting, you know, it's by putting a bottom line, that the debt, you know, that when the store owner takes his adding machine and begins adding everything up and comes to a sum, boom, boom, that's considered to be zekifat milveh. Namely, there's no need to have a declaration of stating a time of payment. It's all a bookkeeping issue. Halacha lemaisa, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, Siman Samak Zayin, Sif Yud Dalet, the Ramah over there says, Mikri Zekifa, Misha Shekava Lozman Leparo. First, he quotes the Rush, the tour based on the Rush and Perak HaShaleach. The Yesh Omrim de Mikri Zekifa, Miyad Shekasa Bepinkaso, Kol HaKeshbon Yachad. In other words, that he brings both of these options. And again, in other words, to us, it would appear to be very, very clear that if we have to create a loan, Yesh Miyayin, we didn't have a loan previously. We had a business deal. We want to create a loan, so we need an explicit statement with a date of payment, etc. If, on the other hand, there's no need to create a loan. It's enough to have a debt, but the debt up to now was theoretical, and we need it to become practical. So simply consolidating the debt, that turns it into a practical debt. However, the Gra points out that it's not as though the Rush and the Mordechai simply thought of these options either because of Minag HaOlam or that this would fit in very nicely with their theory of Mashe Yado, but rather that we have, points out the Gra, we have two sugyos. We have precedents for each of these different types of Zekifat Milveh, and each precedent in its context makes perfectly good sense. And the question is simply which sugya will serve as the precedent for Shemitah. So the Gra points out that the first daya, the daya of the Rosh, Baba Kama Kufteta Med Aleph. The second daya, the Yesh Omrim, which is the Mordechai, Baba Metziah Ayin Beza Med Aleph. Okay, so the Gra sending us on a chase. So let's follow the Gra's path. So we look first, Baba Kama Daf Kufteta Med Aleph. It's a fascinating Gemara. It's a Gemara of what happens when a person tries to do the best that he can and situation changes. Haray, well, we're dealing with the person who started off on the wrong track. Haray shegozel hager v'nishbalo. That we have a situation of someone who stole money and he swore that he didn't steal the money. V'shama shemet hager. Okay, so he opens up Chumash to Parshas Naso, and this is the Parsha of Gezel Hager. That if we're dealing with a regular Jew meaning a born Jew, so if you steal from a born Jew and you're nishba l'sheker, now you owe keren v'chomesh, and if you're misvade, then you also have to bring a korban. And what happens if that person dies? So then the money, the keren v'chomesh, you give to his yorshim. When you're dealing with a ger, the moment that he dies, there are no yorshim. What then happens to the keren and the chomesh? So the Torah says, it's brought to Yerushalayim and given to the Kohen. Again, we're dealing with a person who is a mitzvada. He's chozer b'tshuva. He feels terrible. He stole from a ger. He has no way of returning to the ger. The ger is dead. He's chay, and he was nishba l'sheker, and he was a mitzvada that he was nishba l'sheker. So he's chay of Karen and Chomesh and an Asham. So he's on the way to Yerushalayim. And who does he meet on his way to Yerushalayim in the train station? Upaga b'oso hager. The ger is alive. It was a shmua. The ger had died, but the ger is still alive. And he tells the ger that, you know, what he's about to do, that he's about to go to Yerushalayim and et cetera, et cetera. And, but now the ger is alive. He wants to return the keren and the chomesh to the ger. What does the ger do? Uzikafo alav b'milve. The ger says that gezeila, I was already, I don't know, whatever, you know, it's v'chulei. Let's say that from now you owe me the money. You don't have to pay me now. Now from now you owe me the money. Zekafo la b'milve. And then the ger dies. Umes. So the question is, now what? Do we say that this person now, that the ger is dead, has to take the keren and the chomesh to Yerushalayim? Or do we say, since zekafo la b'milve, this is no longer a gezel. This is a new transaction. He borrowed money from the ger, and the ger is dead. So maybe it's hefker and it belongs to him. So that's a machlokes tanoim, Rav Yossi and Rabbi Akiva. So Rav Yossi says, "Zocha halab b'mashe biyado divrei Yossi aglili." And Rabbi Akiva doesn't disagree on principle. He just disagrees practically that we don't want people to think that you can get away with things. This person did something wrong. B'chule, b'chule. But what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yosef Glili? Zakafo alav ger b'milve. Nothak le mitaras gezela. Namely, we have a concept of the kifa b'milve in which something previously had been a gezela, and now it's turned into a milve. So that is a form of zakifa b'milve, that you can change the category from being a category A to category B. You can move something from being a gezel to being a milve. That's a black and white gemara. What the Achronim talk about, and this is shayach also to our story, what happened to the gezel? I mean, like, how did the gezel, this is alchemy, what happened to the gate, to the gzela? It was doing something that was stolen. What happened to it? So there's a fascinating exchange of letters between Rav Yecheskel Abramsky and Rav Shach. In the Avi Ezri, the Sefer of Rav Shach, in Hilchos Gzela, at the end of Perek Zayin, he writes the letter to Rav Abramsky, and whoever edited the volume put it there. And the Rav Abramsky in his Tosefta felt that the Goy was mochel on the gzela. Said the gzela I'm mochel on, but you owe me money, so it's a loan. And Rav Shach, you know, it brings a million and one proofs that you can't be mochel a gzela in that manner. We're in a parsha of gezel hager. The person's doing this being kind of telling you mochel the gzela. You know, it's the Karen and the Chomash have to go to someone. They have to go. If they're not going to go to the Giddush, you go to the Kohen, etc. He says that rather it's like kilu hiskabalti. It's as though it was paid. In other words, he says, look, you're paying me and I'm giving you back the money now as a loan. You're paying me back the gzela and I'm giving it back to you as a loan. In any case, they disagree on this issue of what is the procedure, what's the halakhic procedure of moving something, transforming something from one form of a debt to another form of a debt. That's the source of, that's the Zakifa B'milva of the Rush. The Rush says, just like the Zakifa B'milva can turn something from a gezel into a halva, it can also turn something from a chov into a halva. It can take hakafa sachanus and turn it into a halva. It can take skar sakhir and turn it into a halva. It has that power. Either via mechila of the previous status or of being kilu was paid and now it's turned into halva. But we have a precedent for Zakifa b'milveh. We have to get to the world of milveh in order for Shemitah to work. So we have this concept of changing status via Zakifa. Just like the status is changed from gezel to milveh, it can be changed also from schar sachir to milveh, from hakafas chanut to milveh. On the other hand, we have another gemara. We have a gemara baba metziah dafayim bezom erav, tanu rabbanon. Yisrael shalava ma'os min hanachri beribis. We're dealing with a loan. The malve is a goy. He's allowed to be malve beribis. Okay? And so we're dealing, a Jew is borrowing money from a goy beribis. And then this goy is a kafan alav b'milve, v'nisgayer. Im kodam shenisgayer is a kafan of a milve, govas akeren v'govas aribis. Namely, we're dealing over here with something that was a loan. We start off with a loan. Okay? And we started with a loan that had two aspects to it. There was the Karen, there was the original amount of money, and there was the ribis. And this then was consolidated, Zakafan Alav Bamilve, it was consolidated into a new loan. That an amount, let's say that the original loan was $100 and $25 of ribis, and it was turned into a loan of $125. Namely, that we consolidated the original principal and the interest into one amount. And if this occurred when the malva was still a goy, so then there is no problem of his receiving back $125. But if he tried this afterwards, he's only going to get the $100. He's not going to get the $125. But here we're dealing not with transforming something from a gezel into a loan. We're starting with a loan. We're just dealing with taking two parts of the loan and consolidating them. Look at Rashi. Zekofan alav milve lachar zman chishev imo haribis v'zokef hakol biyachad b'milve v'kasev lo shtar alayhem. that we have now, instead of 100 plus 25, we have a shtar saying, kach v'kach chayev l'poni, I owe 125. In that case, go v'esaribis. This is the dekifa of the Mordechai. The Mordechai feels that this is a great precedent for the world of Shemitah. Because in Shemitah, there's no need to change something from being a debt to being a loan. Shemitah also abrogates debts, just that we need a debt which is practical as opposed to a debt which is theoretical. And so consolidation now gives us a new sense of practicality. That we practically consolidated into one. And so who hadin, when the Baal HaChanus uses his adding machine and adds up all of the sats all into one sum, that takes it was a hakafat chanut, it was a business deal, and remains a business deal. Just that now Shemitah applies to it because it's now practically on the table. Hu hadin with the handyman. So we have then over here really a question. This is the issue. Which of these two Gemaras is the precedent for Shemitah? We have a Gemara that deals with Gezel Hager. Clearly over there, Sekifas Milva has to transform it in some manner from a gezel into a halva. We have a Gemara dealing with a halva with ribis, and the question is whether it can be consolidated into a halva without ribis. It's not, there's no transformation over here from X to Y. It's simply a question as to whether we have the ability to consolidate something and give it a sense of practicality, a new practicality. Which of these is the model for Shemitah? What does Shemitah apply to? If Shemitah only applies to Baal Mashiach Yado, only to Halva'ot, then we have to use the Gemara in Baba Kama as our precedent. If, on the other hand, Shemitah applies to any debt, so then we have the right to, but it has to be a debt which is on the table. So then over here, we can use the Gemara in Baba Metzia as our precedent, and Lechora, that follows through. So again, in Nachimina Halach Lamaisa, we're going to, Yitz Hashem, be writing Pruzbalim. To what does it apply? That according to a one stream of Torah Sheba'al Peh, from the Medrash all the way through the Pasa Shulchan, we're only dealing with debt with loans. We're only dealing with loans. So if I don't owe anyone money via a loan, I have no problem. We'll have a question, and this is dealt with by all of the books. What's a loan? If I have money in a bank, am I loaning the money to the bank? Is that considered to be a loan? If I have, as we view it, I'm depositing it. But we all know that there's a heter iska. In other words, so to what degree is that considered to be a loan? If I owe money to a gemach, is that a loan or is that a different form of a debt? If I write a check, is that checking? Am I loaning the person money? All of these are practical questions, but the starting point is a loan. Masha Ein Kein, according to the other stream of in Torah Sheba'al Peh, that we're dealing with a chov, simply with a debt. So whatever any business deal I had, I bought a car, I bought a house, the payment is due, so I need a prusbul in order to be able to collect, or in other words, that the, not that I need the prusbul, the car dealer or the homeowner who sold it to me, he needs a prusbul in order to be able to collect my money. Who I didn't, nowadays, Sar Sakhir, we don't have this ongoing arrangement between a handyman and an employer. I work for a salary. I get paid on the 5th of every month. What if the 5th of the month comes out to be after Rosh Chodesh? I'm sorry, the 5th of the month comes out to be before Rosh Hashanah. But for some reason, I wasn't yet paid. In other words, when Rosh Hashanah comes, has my salary, the money which is owed to me by my employer, has that been abrogated? Because, which we're dealing with, he owes me the money. It's a real debt. So yitachen, I need a prusbul in order to be able to collect it. So this then, is that which you should be aware of exists, within the world of Shemitah and stuff. Yitz Hashem, next week, in this slot, I'd like to talk to you about the text of the prusbul that we'll be using here in the yeshiva. Take advantage of all of your knowledge of the sugis of prusbul that you're learning with Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Eisenstein, to see how it works out halacha lemaisa, and in Yitz Hashem will also deal with slichos that begin a week from Motzei Shabbos. And then 2 weeks from now, for those fellows who weren't here last year, I'd like to review with you Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. And 3 weeks from now, which comes out to be Tzom Gedalia, before we daven, we'll daven Mincha, so we still have time for Shir Koli to deal with Hilchos Yom Kippur, Hilchos Yom Tov Sheni, for those of you who weren't here last year. Okay, we should only give a service of us. They're redoing the auditorium, turning it back into an auditorium where we'll have an orientation luncheon. So in about 15 minutes, you're invited into the auditorium again.
Well.
Okay, all right, I don't...